Hello and welcome to Super Saturdays, a comic media podcast where each episode we will be focusing on your favorite comic books, TV shows, and movies to figure out if these projects will stand the test of time. I'm Damon A, and on today's episode, I am joined by...
Hi, I'm Freddie. I'm DMV Comic Book Nerds. So, as the name implies, based in the DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia.
Okay. All right. Well, without further ado, on with the show. Okay, so before we talk about episode 2 of X-Men 97, just to let everybody know, this is part 2 of the fantastic crossover that Freddie and I did for Mutant March and also just for the X-Men. So if you want to see part 1, we covered the first episode on DMV Comic Book Nerds Podcast. So you can follow the episode on YouTube. You can find it on all streaming platforms, right? All podcast streaming platforms.
Well, I would just say Spotify, Apple, and YouTube, but are there more than that?
Possibly. I don't know. I think there are.
I don't know who uses them.
So speaking of fantastic, are you ready to drop into our news roundup for this episode?
I am ready.
Okay. And here we go. Okay, so, like I said, something fantastic is upon us. So there is a rumor for the new Fantastic Four movie that Franklin Richards is going to make his first on-screen debut. Freddie, are you excited for the Fantastic Four movie? What's your thoughts on that?
I feel like this is a deja vu when you ask me about Superman Legacy. Like, I'm a wait-and-see kind of guy, so I don't really... I try to resist hype because I don't want to, like... disappoint myself, but that said, I like the Fantastic Four. I will go see it. You know, I guess my only hesitation is that I was hoping we would actually get something more like Al Ewing's Ultimates. You know what that team I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Like Black Panther, Captain Marvel, America, Chavez. Like the team is already there, so why aren't we going in that direction in the MCU? Don't ask me.
Honestly, I could see like a little mini series with the Ultimates team. I feel like that'd be pretty dope. But then again, we may not be getting Disney Plus shows or, you know, extra little shows. Which is, on one hand, I get it. On the other hand, I'm like, oh,
like Monica Rambeau, like this team is like, they're already here. We love them. We want to see them together. Galactus was involved. Like, give me the Ultimates, please. Not the Ultimates, the 1616 Ultimates. But yeah, Franklin Richards is cool. The FF is cool. I mean, I'm excited to see what they'll do with it.
Okay. I think my thoughts, I'm like in between because like I'm kind of... I'm hyped for the movie, but I'm not 100% behind the cast for who they chose.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not 100% behind it. I think it's one of those things where it's like, I'm going to have to see it to like, you know, really get excited for it, I guess. But I did.
Like, is there one or two, or is just all of it?
I would say the guy they chose for Johnny Storm, I'm kind of in the camp of like, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, I don't see it either. And like, I mean, maybe he'll impress us, but it's hard to like let go of like the Chris Evans Human Torch, I think, for me. But
I could kind of see that. Yeah, I could kind of see that. I my thing is though, I just would have. He doesn't really have the Johnny Storm vibes that like I would have thought. And I don't know. And I know that he's like kind of close in age with Tom Holland, but he looks a little older compared to Tom Holland. So I like, hey, that's cool. I'd love to see their friendship come on screen. And I'm also a little in between about the whole 60s setting, because I know a lot of people have been saying for a while that, oh, yeah, you can introduce him in the 60s. Part of me is like, does it have to be the 60s? But I'm curious where it's going to go. I'm curious. And I love Pedro Pascal, but like, Was he the best choice? Like I said, I'm in between. Not against it. Not against it at all. I'm just very curious, I'd say. Next question on our news roundup. This is something a little bit different. I'm curious, Freddie, what are some ongoings you're reading right now if you're keeping up with some ongoing stuff?
Oh my goodness. I didn't see this question. Oh, I did see this, but I forgot to prepare that answer. All right, well, I got a quick answer anyway. I'm always reading something. I'm always keeping up with the X-Men comic books, Fall of the House of X, The Rise of the Powers of X, all those X-y titles. But another great book right
Did you
now,
say those XC titles?
all those X-y titles. But I gotta mention Avengers Twilight by Chip Zdarsky and Daniel Acuna. It's fire. It's pretty good. I'm excited to see. It's a mini series, so check it out. It's like an alternate future. It's kind of like the Kingdom Come of Avengers. Like, what if the Avengers get old and society goes to crap? How are they gonna fight the younger generation? But it's got some nuance to it. It's not all old people grievance, I don't think. There's young people in the revolution.
Old people. Okay.
It's like an old man kept. It's like also it's a lot like Dark Knight Returns, where instead of Batman being old, it's Captain America being old.
So like Earth X.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? Now I'm kind of curious because like I've been dipping my toes a little bit more into reading more ongoing titles, especially for the show. Because previously, Soups, I'm going to be honest with you, my comic read, like, okay, I stay up to date on a lot of different things with comics, and I pick and choose with which ongoings I'm going to be reading. For the most part, I like getting my stuff in trades. I like getting my stuff in like collected, like full on stories. But I'm pretty sure that this is going to be my new one. Well, like maybe one of the new ongoings I'm going to be picking up. Because right now, I'm currently have like three or four. I'm not really sure how many, but on those lines of ongoings that I've been keeping up with. I'm really curious about that.
Well, I guess I should say again, it's definitely a mini series, but as far as ongoings, it's mostly like X books that I try to keep up with. But then again, they've been like rebooting their title every 6 issues, every 5 issues. They're like, back to number one. I'm like, okay.
For me, so flashback to other episode, a little bit ago, Soups, we had an interview with Josh Trujillo, and around the time that interview was filmed, and even when it was launched, issue 7 didn't come out yet. So recently, I picked up issue 7. Still reading it. It's literally right in wait, no. Oh, it's right
Right.
here, right to the right of
Oh,
me.
okay.
Boom.
Ooh, nice.
Issue 7. And still reading it and everything, and I gotta say, I am enjoying where Josh Trujillo has really taken Blue Beetle. And I'm also still reading the Ultimate titles. I've read Ultimate Black Panther, which video may be coming
Yes.
soon for issue two.
Yes, following that too. That's so good.
Yeah, and then Ultimate Spider-Man, which I'm loving Ultimate Spider-Man. I really am. So I might do another video for that too.
So if we're showing off comics on screen, here's my foil cover of, I don't know if it's going to pop up, of Avengers Twilight number one with
Okay.
Cap on the bike. And then I also got a Black Panther Ultimate Black Panther number one variant cover. Love
I wish I had that variant. I just have the
it.
regular one. But yeah, those are my
They're all
ongoing
great.
titles at the moment. Also picked up
Nice.
Spider-Punk, the new one
Ooh.
that's coming out, that came out. And maybe there's a video on that soon. Who knows? Possibly. No promises, Soups. But all right. So we talked about our ongoings and everything. Before we dive in, I got like a little bit more questions for you.
Sure.
So, Freddie, I know we kind of touched on it in our previous episode, but let the Soups know just in case this is their first time here in this episode. What was your first introduction to the X-Men? And like who was and is your favorite X-Man?
All right, I'll keep it short and sweet. I definitely started young with X-Men 92, like the original animated series. I saw a handful of episodes on VHS, maybe on TV, but like I got hooked with X-Men Evolution, and with Ultimate X-Men comic books, and then I went back and got like essential collections of the Claremont era, and like I was just reading everything. And so for I guess over 20 years now, I've been like reading tons of comics, but lots of X books for sure. And I guess my favorite character has to be Storm. Like, I love Storm. I think a lot of us love Storm. She means so much to us as Black fans, but like just as a character in general, she's just so amazing. She has so much depth. She has so much integrity. Like, she has such an amazing history. She bridges so many different worlds. Like, she's both Kenyan and American, and like everything. She's a goddess. She's a queen. She's a woman. She's a person, you know, and she does it all with class and style. So.
Honestly, I'm in the same boat as you. I would say, well, okay, my top three X-Men would have to be like I love Cyclops, like Wolverine, and Storm really is that girl on some real stuff. Storm
Man,
is that
your
girl.
top three is really good. I gotta second that.
Like Storm is that girl. She is. She is the moment. She is everything.
She's an icon, she's a legend, and she is the moment. Now, come on now.
Listen, she's that girl.
All
Honestly,
praise the Hadar Yao. Like we are part
literally.
of her worshippers here.
Literally. You know, on some real stuff though, sidebar. Someone said that Storm is arguably the most famous character from X-Men. I kind of would have to agree. I'd say it'd be between her and Wolverine.
I mean, I hate to be cynical about this, but I do kind of feel like Wolverine has this enduring like quality where he's had how many issues of his solo title and how many has Storm had? Like it's again, like that doesn't necessarily speak to popularity because Storm is popular even without regular ongoing series, but Wolverine gets them. He has that white male privilege, which you know, I think it probably reaches more fans, but and we love Wolverine, but you know, Storm deserves more, I think. So maybe she is like the most popular. I think that I would love to see more books, you know, featuring her.
I agree. I think I'd like to see a lot more books with her. I wish. Honestly, I really wish that there was like an omnibus or something that like they had a collection of like Storm's like greatest moments or some of the most important stories for Storms. I'd buy that in a heartbeat on some real shit. But since we're talking about Storm, and honestly, I'd say the big two people in this episode is Storm and Magneto. I mean, the whole X-Men, obviously, but they have some really big moments. Are you ready to dive in?
Freddy's ready.
All right. Then let's dive in. Okay, so here is a summary. Magneto with his fresh silk press. Yes, Magneto has a silk press in this show. It is silky, it is white, it is shiny.
Flowing, luxurious.
He said stiff wear. Stiff wear. While trying to live up to Charles's legacy, has taken on heroism, saving both humans and mutants alike, and now refrains from killing anti-mutant militants. Distrustful, Cyclops and Jean stay to keep an eye on Magneto while Rogue sympathizes with his struggles and hints at a past relationship between them. Okay.
Ooh,
Little saucy.
spicy.
Little saucy. So there's a little bit more out of that summary, but I kind of just, kind of like cut through the summary because it would have been a little too long. But there's a lot of stuff that happened in this episode. So, Freddie, what was your first initial thoughts within this after watching this episode?
It was a lot. Like, especially watching it back to back with episode one, then watching episode two. Like, they did a lot, and I'm glad they did. Like, I think, you know, they didn't come to play. Like, they were like, we got a story to tell. We got lots of stories to tell. We gotta follow what's going on with all these characters. So I gotta say, like, I think they're telling compelling storylines with everybody. Like not just Storm and Magneto, but also, like you said, Rogue and Jean with, you know. So Even Gambit, you know, with his little jealousy.
Oh, listen, I was right about Fo Jean for the people who hopped over to this episode. Fo Jean. Fo Jean. That was a Fo Jean. And yeah, no, my initial thoughts, same thing as you were saying. Like, I'd say this episode really hit the ground running. Actually, this whole show, the first two episodes, they hit the ground running. They said the X-Men are back and they're badder than ever. And by bad, I don't mean like bad, bad. I mean like badass. Like, literally, there's so many different moments I can like pick apart from this episode that are like hella memorable. And, you know, we started this episode seeing Magneto be like, you know, coming with the little silk press and his like cunty outfit with the, you know, like with the freaking gloves,
yes,
and everything.
Like, I loved it. Like, why is he looking so hot and sexy? Like, he's like got this like purple, like
skin tight cat suit on,
cold shoulders, like he's got his opera gloves.
No, someone on Twitter said that he was in. Yes. Someone
stands for man. He's all man. So you know.
No, somebody on Twitter said that he's like fresh in some Balenciaga. And you know something? Listen. No, actually no. Freddie, M stands for Mugler. That's what he's in. Yeah.
Like his hips were like hipping. Like he was like sitting on the desk all like, so let me talk about my ex-boyfriend, like, and how all this inheritance he left me. Like
Exactly. And you know, I just loved it. Magneto was the crown jewel of this episode, especially like I think whoever voiced Magneto, I'd say, and in the first beginning of this episode, I was a little like a couple of different lines. I was sitting there thinking, I was like, okay, some of the lines are a little campy, but then I got really sold throughout the progression of this episode, especially when we got to that ending.
Oh yeah.
Well, towards the end when he has his whole monologue where he's like, no, never again. Never again.
Yes, so good. Like, we forgot to mention this on part one, but like, yeah, the original Magneto voice was David Hemblin, and he passed away a few years ago, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So rest in peace to him. But the new Magneto, he's voiced by Matthew Watterson. And like, he came in day one, like that scene from the last episode was dope. And then ever since then, like, this episode gave him so many speeches and like so many moments and so many great lines. Like, whew, it was impressive.
Mm-hmm. Incredibly impressive, I'd say. It really hit the ground running in everything that we like were seeing. And then we got like a little montage after Magneto proclaimed that he was like, you know, turning over a new leaf. I was kind of surprised to see the Morlocks again so soon.
Yeah.
And seeing him like save the Morlocks and everything.
Can I just say, I love that in the new opening credits or opening intro, they include the scene where Callisto fought Storm and Storm had
yes.
a double-edged lightsaber. And she's like kicking her ass. Like,
yes.
That's an iconic moment.
You know something? I was, because I said this in another episode that we did, but like, Soobs, if you don't follow us on Twitter or X or whatever, I'm kind of like active on there. The show's really active on there, so go ahead and follow us over there. But I was doing a whole thread talking about my little rewatch of the X-Men show, and I didn't talk about this, but the episode where Storm beat the shit out of Callisto, the entire time I was sitting there thinking, lightsabers?
Right? Like, in the comic books, it was like knives or something. Or it was not lightsabers. I think they were just like, you know what? We like Star Wars. Nerds like Star Wars.
And there was a blue and a red one, too.
But this is before that first double-ended lightsaber in the prequels with Darth Maul and all, I think. But then again, maybe it's like an American Gladiator thing.
Okay.
I know.
Maybe.
I can't remember.
Going back to Storm, I was actually going to say this about Storm, when Magneto was just having his little conversation with the rest of them, and he said something on the lines of Storm is the closest thing to a goddess, I was like, yes.
Ooh, yes.
You better put some respect on her name.
Mm-hmm. I love that line, but then he went and gave her a backhanded compliment, because he was like, yeah, you're the closest thing to a goddess I've ever seen, but I'm still going to demand you respect me, because I'm going to do it politely. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hold up, though. Like Magneto, Storm. I'm a choose Storm. But
every time, all day. and this was like the big episode where Magneto was on trial. shit got really serious in this episode. Previously, the previous episode was more like fun. This episode got hella serious, like hella fast. And with that trial, we had like the, was it the Friends of Humanity? That's what they're called?
Yes, the Friends of Humanity, the FOH. Or you can just call them the insurrectionists from January 6th.
I'm glad you said it. I was taken aback. Okay. Listen, when it was happening, I was sitting here thinking, I was like, you know, I feel like there's going to be some people who may be racist, maybe a bigot, are going to be like, wow, they turned the X-Men woke. They turned the X-Men woke. Listen, it's funny, I was talking to my friend Blake. Hey, Blake, friend of the show. And one of the things, he's not like the biggest comic book fan, but he saw a couple of different people talking about it. And we were having a conversation about how it was so wild that there's so many different fans of the X-Men, so many different fans of the X-Men who can also be racist. I'm confused on how you don't really see the parallels between minority groups and the plight that the X-Men face. Mind fucking blown by that.
Yeah, it's been like this forever. Like, every time that the X-Men is like a huge property that's like, you know, successful and popular, it's going on at the same time that we're dealing with the same bigotry and racism in the world that we've always dealt with. And I've wondered that so many times, like, how do people like walk away from these stories and not realize that, you know, you need to have compassion for people who are different from you. You need to try to understand people despite your differences. Like, they just like smashing robots or something. I don't know.
Listen, I can't get it. I can't get behind it. But I will say, though, yeah, basically it was the insurrection. They stormed the, that was the UN, right?
Yep, they've been storming the UN. And then you got the executioner who, you know,
badass costume, I'll give him that.
Yep, cool look, but his lines already on the internet, people like are taking them out of context. It's so sad. What can you do?
I was just taking it back over how, I want to say, meta they were with the writing with this, and it was very on the nose, and I was very just taking it back. I wasn't expecting it. I think it kind of goes to what I was talking about in the last episode that we did, where I was saying that this show was a lot more adult than I thought it would be. And I'm loving it, especially down to like how like Wolverine like cursed in the other episode. Mm-hmm. And I think there was like another curse word in this episode too. I don't know. But I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh, so you guys got budget and y'all can like, you know, say so. Okay. They said we don't have censors no more. We're not on Fox Kids anymore.
You got a little bit of blood. Jean giving birth, for what that's worth. I mean, there was a time you couldn't do that on TV or even show a pregnant woman. Like the original series wasn't allowed to make Jean pregnant. I think the creators revealed that in their book.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like they wanted to do that storyline earlier.
Okay, okay. Speaking of that, I was very surprised by that too. I thought it was funny as hell though, seeing like Wolverine like react when Jean said, I think the baby's here. And he was like, what?
That was a good piece of comedy. That was so funny. I got to say, I noticed a little Easter egg when he was driving her to the hospital. They passed a building called, there was a sign in the window called Wines, Cafe, and Diner. So tribute to Lynn Wine.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I was like, that's a missed opportunity. They should have just called it Wine and Dine. You know, spelling it W-E-I-N.
Okay, that would have been pretty clever. That would actually been a lot more clever. I know this whole episode we've been like talking how great Storm is, but I gotta say one more good thing about Storm. When all this shit was going down, then insurrection was happening, and Storm was in the UN.
Yes, tell us.
Yes, yes. When Storm was in the UN, and she was basically, because you know, Jean let everybody know that she's like in labor. So Rogue takes Cyclops, they leave. And Storm is like, you know what? I got this. She then hops into leader mode and she gives everyone orders.
Yes.
She gives everyone commands. And this guy who like has a sword there, he's like, why should we listen to you? And she's like,
do not think Be silent, heed my commands, and you shall survive.
Heed my commands, and you will survive. Listen, listen. Yes. And she shut him up real quick. I loved it.
Yes, so good.
Loved it. I loved every freaking minute of it. And, you know, long story.
And I love that earlier when she was having that talk with Jean, she gave us this perfect line. She said, "You sound like a mother." And now every time I think about Storm, I'm like, you know what? Storm is a mother. Like, she sounds like a mother.
Bitch, I'm a mother. No drama.
Oh, my God.
I loved everything that they had given us with Storm in these two episodes up until, you know what I'm about to say? They shot her and took her powers away. I was like, we're not going to have Storm feats for the rest of the season, are we? Like,
yeah.
Now, I will say this is clearly they're going down the road of the comic book storyline, Life Death. I believe that's going to be the title of two of the episodes coming up. And it is a two-parter in the comic books. And like, it's all about Storm losing her powers, and that's the era when she has the mohawk. So it's like they're very obvious about what they're doing here. It's just always rough to see. Like, it's just hard to see Storm at her worst. Like when she lost her powers, she's like, it was bordering on melodramatic, but I still felt for her where she was like, the breeze, I cannot feel it.
Why do you gotta say it like that, Freddie? Why you gotta say it like that?
Because that's how she said it.
Oh my God.
Like, it was devastating, actually. Like, because I've seen the comic book issue where that happens, and just like every time I'm like, damn it.
Did they rip the dialogue from the comic for this, or was it similar to your knowledge?
I can't remember if it's exact dialogue, but I do recall the scene. Like in the comic books, she gets shot protecting Rogue.
Mm-hmm.
So here she gets shot protecting Magneto. And, you know, either way, it's tough to watch. How many episodes is it going to be?
Exactly. I mean, it's going to be probably till Life Death is like 5 and 6. So it's going to be a couple episodes. I will say this, though. Since we're on the topic of when Storm lost her powers, it was really emotional. It was very compelling hearing it. And I agreed it bordered melodramatic. But what sold me on it was how we saw her crying and just the audio. And then even the extra touch that I loved was when Storm decided that she wanted to leave the X-Men. And there's a scene in particular where she has her uniform on the bed, and there's like the shot mark on the uniform. And she's like contemplating if she wants to leave. But what really sealed the deal was when it started raining outside. And then the thunder striked.
Yeah.
She was scared of the thunder.
Like she didn't see it coming. Like, usually she would have been connected and, like, known the storm was coming. But she was, like, startled when she saw the lightning.
Mm-hmm. I think that was just such a unique touch. And I love moments like that where it's, like, you know, the whole show don't tell thing when it comes to, like, you know, visuals, the visual media and everything. I love that. And yeah. I want to talk a little bit more about Magneto.
Can we just finish up one thing with Storm, though? Because like, I have to say, like, I mean, Storm and Jean are friends in the comics for the most part. I felt like their connection here, like, I'm glad they had one, but I just don't remember it being that strong in the previous show. But, like, I really thought she was, like, besties with Rogue. But regardless, I mean, that scene at the end, I'm like, she wrote her a letter to Jean specifically, her goodbye letter. I'm like, why didn't she write it to the whole team? And then I come to find that Jean is reading the letter out loud to everybody. Like, this is a personal letter. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure out what's the dynamic here. Like, I was kind of like, it felt like, you know, like they were girlfriends and Storm was breaking up with her, had to go her own way, you know, but, you know, now that you got a baby and a man, you know, you don't need me around. But but you know, all the X-Men are polyamorous and bisexual, so I don't even know, like, what's going on there. But not to take it the wrong way. I'm just saying that, you know, it was, all of her scenes had the emotion. I was just kind of wondering a little bit about the dynamics of it all, you know? Like, I felt it wasn't always, honestly, with that Gene and Storm scene where they were talking, that's the opposite of what they said in the old show. Like, Gene was the one reassuring Scott, like, we'll have a mutant child and it'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And Storm was the one saying, like, we don't need to change ourselves. We don't need to be human, like, all that stuff. So it's like, I get that. In real life, people sometimes, you know, contradict themselves and change and grow. So it's like, so I'm not too mad about it, but there are a lot of things in this episode that were noticeably different. That's all I got to say about that.
A part of me wonders, because something that I felt about this show, okay, going back to what you were saying about Storm and Gene in the show, at least not being the best of friends. Well, like, I mean, they're cool, but like, you didn't really get to see that. Even on my little rewatch, there's something Gene said in the original show that had me looking sideways. It was during the Genosha episode in season one where Cyclops was like, you know, they haven't responded back. I hope they're okay. And Gene's like, oh, it's okay, Cyclops. I mean, Storm... she's from Cairo. She something on those lines. She's survived worse than that. I was like, microaggression. Damn, I forgot exactly what she said, but like it was something on those lines. I was just sitting there thinking, like, damn, Gene. Okay, all right.
Like Gene don't be giving. She don't be giving the F. Like she just like she's like we can leave Cyclops. Like we got a baby now. The X-Men don't need us. But it is interesting though that you know. While Gene and Cyclops were talking about leaving, Storm actually did up and leave. So who's going to leave the X-Men now? Like, if all three of them are not trying to be there, you know, is Wolverine about to step up again, be Wolverine in the X-Men?
I don't know. That's a real question going on with that. I think... Well,
actually,
okay.
Magneto is the one who said, I'm leaving the X-Men, actually. So you got to come back to him.
No, I was gonna say that, like, I'm pretty sure that, like, throughout this episode, and honestly throughout the first two episodes, you kind of got like hints that may not be Jean, even right. Down to like her insistence of like, let's leave, which I can get it. I think we touched on that yesterday when we did our recording of the other episode, but like it was the fact that, like, even in this episode, something about it just seemed a little off. And it also makes me wonder, back to what you were saying about how some of the things that Gene was saying didn't really match up to what we saw previously in the other show. So it makes me wonder, is that intentional? Because at the end of this episode, we'll get back to Magneto, but like at the end of this episode, when the X-Men open the door after Gene reads Storm's letter, we then see a woman who is Jean Grey.
I love that little bit where Morph was like, oh, I bet Storm will turn right back around and she'll be here before you know it. And then the doorbell rings and everybody's like, and then it's like another Gene.
And then she faints.
And then the Gene who's already there is looking pissed. Like she's like,
she looks pissed. Oh my God. Listen.
Love the drama. Love it.
I love the soap opera of it all. I love the soap opera of it all.
Yeah.
Okay, I just got one more thing to talk about with Magneto here.
Yes.
Go Magneto stole the cake for best villain monologue, as he always does, though. As he always does. Because mm-hmm. Going back to the interaction that happens and everything, after Storm gets shot, we have Magneto snatch up the executioner. And he also scoops up the people of the UN and they go into orbit. They're like one skip and a hop from being in space. It's cold. And his whole, like, field is, like, protecting them with oxygen. And he basically makes a point. And one of the things that really gets me about it is that he kind of explains, like, I don't know, have the exact words right in front of me, but it's something on the lines of, like, him basically just talking about how, you know, if I were different, if this was me previously, I would have murdered this man, smited all of you down. Because of his actions and the actions that we've witnessed today. And I hope you would understand as to why that would be my thoughts and inclination to do that. Just powerful stuff he was saying. I wish I had it in front of me what exactly he said. But that scene in general, the way that it was shot, the emotion behind it, and even down to the animation itself. What was your thoughts on that scene?
Wow, man, it was really powerful. Like, and just the whole setup. Like, obviously this episode is homaging the trial of Magneto from the comic books, down to his costume and just like everything. And the way the episode unfolded, it reminded me of the movies. Like, you got that scene that where he's having a, like, it's like a helicopter hair showdown with Valerie Cooper. Like, they're both of their hairs like flowing by the helicopter blades, and it's like, and there's like a standoff with all the UN people. That reminded me of X-Men 1, where, you know, he's facing the cops and everything. And then it goes to the scene you were just talking about, where he lifts them up into space. That reminded me of, like, I think it was Days of Future Past, but this version of Magneto, he's like, we see he's trying to be more of a hero. He's trying to embrace more of what Charles taught and respect the X-Men more. And not only that, like, he's trying to prove in this moment to the world that, you know, he's not a villain, but is he a hero though? But kind of is, like, he's standing up for what's right. He's saving the Morlocks. He's just even saving regular people from, you know, Ferris wheels falling down or whatever. And it's the line at the end, like, it was the never again line that was very powerful. And then he was shedding like a single tear, but then at the very end he was like, I am trying to be better, don't let me let you down. Like, mm-hmm. Kind of threatening, even. Like, because, like, yeah, like, y'all step out of line again, y'all gonna see what's up. But in this case, you've got Magneto, you know, like the number one baddie for some in some people's eyes. And now he's like, you know, telling the UN and the whole world, you know, like, he's just telling them what's up.
Mm-hmm.
It felt stronger to me than.
I felt like it felt very much in character for Magneto to have this type of speech. It felt like he was genuinely taking some time to think about Charles Xavier when having that thought, that not having that speech and everything. And as we were talking about Magneto, I got one more thing to jump ship on before we close out this episode. Let's talk about the Rogue and Magneto pairing.
I knew you were going to say that.
Because
yeah.
There was a whole... Okay. I don't even think it's a hint anymore, because by the end of the episode, they kind of confirmed that it was a thing that actually, you know, is a thing. We have, you know, Magneto acknowledged that there was something that between the two of them, and then Rogue said, you know, that was long ago. To my knowledge, this is the first time this has actually been touched on by even the 90s show and everything, because in the 90s show, I don't think they ever even did it. No. So I'm curious about what happened between episodes in the past,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, me too. Like every time they show that frame of the 05, like the original 5 X-Men, I'm like, okay, so we're kind of following like the comic book history until we aren't. You know, like, what, where does it go different is what I'm wondering. Like, we were talking about Kitty Pryde before. Like, I feel like Kitty Pryde fits in there somewhere before Jubilee came along. Maybe.
Yeah.
But it's, they could easily do whatever they want filling in the gaps. With Rogue, with Magneto, with everybody.
I think one of the things I like about the 90s show is that, like, the 90s show doesn't really give us an origin story for the X-Men. The X-Men are just the X-Men. Mm-hmm. So by doing that, you can kind of do whatever fucking retcon you can. Like, whatever retcon you want to do. Like, oh, yeah, this happened year two before the show. Or this happened at some point around then. Or wherever the hell else. So, I don't know. It makes me wonder, like, did she get with Magneto in this universe during her time with Mystique? Did it happen sometime when... I don't know.
Did it happen in the Savage Land at some point? I don't know.
Who knows?
I wonder, because, like, in the 90s version... Mystique and Magneto didn't seem to work together very much, not like they did in other versions, like Evolution or the movies. So it could be anyone's guess. Maybe they'll dig into it, maybe they won't. But like, I did like their conversations together, him and Rogue. Like, I get her her wanting to actually spend time with someone who can make her feel something. Because he uses his electromagnetic aura, I guess, to like not get touched by her.
It's a human condom at that point. It really is.
Right?
Like, because like she can feel, he can feel, but like it's like not touching, yeah. Touching, but not
Gamma
touching.
Can't do that. Oh no.
Which reminds me, okay. As usual on Super Saturdays, we finna like go off the rails a little bit with this next question real quick before we end this episode. Do you think Magneto and Rogue fucked? Because in this last scene in the episode, you see them in that room in the office or whatever, and then Gambit sees her going there. And then at the end, when it has a little montage, Gambit sees her walk out, and it's later at night. I think they did.
You're talking about in that scene?
Yeah.
I don't think they had sex in that scene. I think they did it in the past.
Okay, yeah. I think they might have in that scene.
I feel like at this point in time, I feel like Rogue is still trying to like not upset what's going on with her and Gambit. But maybe they did. I don't know. I didn't think about that.
I don't know, because like within the first episode and even kind of in this episode, she was like kind of pushing Gambit away a little bit more. So I'm not sure. This is a really good question that I'm curious. I'm curious to see where the relationship goes.
Just go ahead and make it adult. Like they could go all the way with it and say, yeah, like she's having an affair with Magneto. You know, Jean was having an affair with Storm until she left. Like everybody was having affairs. Wolverine over there being like, you know, who am I fucking with? Like,
oh, he's Morph? With Morph, obviously. He's with Morph.
Right. I realize what it is that bothers me about Morph. Like, Morph takes the place of Nightcrawler. Like, Nightcrawler is usually like Wolverine's fuck buddy. So I don't know.
Wait, what?
They're pretty close. He's usually the one bringing the beers and the chips, and then they're just hanging out. And but it's okay. But I think we're going to get Nightcrawler sooner or later.
I think so, too. Okay, so let's get towards the end of this episode. Freddie.
Can I give one quick shout-out before we finish?
Obviously, yes, yo, yes.
Okay, Valerie Cooper. Did she remind you of anybody with her look in this episode? I had to think about this one. She looks exactly like Candace Bergen as like Murphy Brown from the 90s when she had the glasses and the big hair. Like, I was like, that is 100% Candace Bergen right there.
You are lucky that I caught that reference, because I feel like other people in my generation, because as always, Soups, if you don't realize or haven't learned from other episodes, I'm 24 and Freddie's like slightly older than me.
I'm 34, and even that's before my time, so I'm just kind of like putting that reference out there so people can look it up if they don't know. But like, I love that this show is going 100% 90s, you know, from down to the costume and the design and like everything. It's and the stories is great.
I love the 90s of it all, because like, in all honesty, they could have just ignored it. Like, they could have said, yeah, we're bringing the 90s show back. But like, no, they're like homaging it to the extreme. And it feels like they're like setting it more in the 90s than the original show was. But then again, I think it's because the original show was contemporary at that point.
Yeah, so they didn't put much thought into it. 2020. Yeah, like I think they definitely knew what they were doing with this one. Whereas with the original, they were inventing what they were doing. Like, they started that whole Marvel animation thing. So
exactly.
As far as I'm concerned, like, they started the good ones.
Exactly. All right. So Freddie, how would you rate episode 2? Or if you want to rate both of them as like a whole, and do you think it stands the test of time?
I guess I just have to give both episodes a 5, which adds up to 10, because this is the X-Men, Roman numeral X, you know. They deserve 10, 10, 10s across the board.
Not 10, 10, 10 across the board.
Sorry, it's the truth.
I would say this is both episodes 5 out of 5. And where it stands, these first two episodes, for me at least, it stands the test of time. It stands the test of time. The animation is amazing. The fight scenes is amazing. The voice acting is amazing. And this really seems like the definitive take on the X-Men. Now, I know... Oh, another thing, Soups. For those of you who don't follow the Twitter, I issued an apology to Tiffy and Omar. So I'm going to do it here. Y'all were right. This show did deserve to come back. However, I still miss Evolution a lot. But
me too.
I'm going to say it to the camera too. Exactly. I'm going to say it to the camera. Tiffy and Omar was right. But you know what? Evolution will be back at some point. But no, seriously, especially after my like rewatch of the original show. I got to say, this show, amazing. And in all honesty, I had a little bit of qualms against the whole animation because the trailer was a little like choppy. And then even like you can kind of still see it a little bit within these episodes, but it's very, very rare. It's like every like couple of like set, like every now and then. It's weird. But I loved it, though. I feel like they're going to probably bring back Spider-Man next. I get a strong feeling that they might do that. Right. But I know John Semper Jr., he said that he wasn't contacted yet. So, like, who knows? Who knows?
He said he was interested and, like, and they did say that they're not above doing cameos. They already had a bunch of cameos, mostly of X-Men characters. But, like, I'm curious how much they're going to open up the world like they did in the old series and just had everybody pop.
I mean, they had a Spider-Man little hint. If you saw that newspaper that came on screen in episode one, there was like a little Daily Bugle thing. Then Peter Parker's name was on there with the photos. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Who knows? I have a feeling they're going to probably bring back Spider-Man. That show ended in 98 or 99. So it might be Spider-Man 2000. If it's Spider-Man 2000, that'd be dope. Ooh, that'd be a dope name.
Ooh, I like that.
That'd be dope as hell.
Remember Pokemon 2000?
Yeah!
Well, that brings me back.
But, alright. So, you guys heard it here first. X-Men 97 stands the test of time. And, if you're still watching for Mutant March, this is one episode before we end our Mutant March. And our next one, we're going to be talking about X-Men Evolution. So, stay tuned for that. But be sure to let us know your thoughts on Instagram at Super Saturdays Podcast, TikTok at Super Saturdays Pod, and Twitter at Super Saturday PC, where your messages and reviews can make their way on the show. As always, this was Super Saturdays. I'm Damon.
And I'm Freddie.
And where can they find you, Freddie?
All right, so you can find me at DMVCBN. On most platforms, primarily Threads, occasionally Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and now YouTube. So, yeah.
See you next Saturday, Supes.
Bye.